Hello and welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. Today I'm joined by critic and curator Francesca Gavin to discuss the week in art. We'll be whizzing around Europe to talk about new exhibitions in the UK, Switzerland and Spain, starting with Haroon Mirza at Museum Tangeli in Basel, and then we'll head to a photography show by filmmaker John Waters at Spoutmagers in London, and end up at Now's the Time by Jean-Michel Basquiat at the Guggenheim Bilbao. That's all coming up here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Francesca. Without further ado,
you're a regular
voice now on this network.
I'm enjoying this kind of regularity. I feel like we're forming a very good relationship.
We've got a radio bond, haven't we?
We have a radio bond.
Yeah,
I didn't know
right.
It's its own thing.
I think it can be its own thing. I think there are things in real life. I would hasten to add that we have drunk cocktails together outside of Studio One here at Midori House.
Yes, I'm sure that it's lubricated our radio bond.
It's lubricated our radio bond. First of all, we're going to go to Basel in Switzerland and Museum Tangeli. I hope I'm pronouncing
yes.
that right.
Tangeli.
Tangeli. Haroon Mirza. Fill our listeners who might be ignorant of the work of Haroon Mirza what his vibe is.
Okay, Haroon is a British artist. He has won the Silver Lion at Venice, for example. Yeah. He's an incredibly varied artist, working with everything from sound and installation and video, often with a lot of found kinetic objects. So the early pieces he emerged with were things like creating a space out of sound foam padding, and then having weird moving objects out of old record players, defunct radios, and strange things together that would move and create sound pieces. And this show is the best show you will see all year.
Is this kinetic stuff? These are almost sculptures that do things.
Yes.
They're almost like machines that don't make anything. They don't have a purpose, but they are just they're sculptures that move. They're things that have the suggestion of the idea of manufacturing
there's definitely that kind of thing. I mean, the Musée Tangeli is a perfect location.
Yeah.
An artist who defined the whole entire concept of moving objects having kind of a resonance and sound, having elements within sculpture. So, like, it's a really natural fit between Haroon and the museum. And part of the reason why this is the best exhibition you will see this entire year is because Haroon has taken over the entire museum space and used it as a collaborator with his own practice, as well as bringing in other artists' work like Jeremy Deller and Hannah Horowitz and and Anish Kapoor, and elements of their video work or their sound pieces or drawings, and incorporated it all within a kind of giant Uber museum installation.
The result sounds amazing.
It is. It's wild. There's one floor, and it's over four floors. I mean, in the basement, strange cupboards, like as you enter, outside pieces. There's one floor where it's sort of a historical document about Tangeli, but Haroon's inserted this kind of flashing light sound piece throughout it all, turning it into a kind of a weird futuristic nightclub museum.
Right.
It's amazing.
It sounds fantastic. Is this all site specific? Is this new work made for the show? Is this a mid-career survey? What sort of thing can we call this?
Well, it's actually a bit of both.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. There are older pieces in here that he's made throughout his career, as well as some new pieces. And then there's also pieces that aren't his at all. He's using the idea of his studio as almost like a kind of business brand idea, and that art is not necessarily by a single individual, but something that is collaborative and much more other people's parts. So, for example, some of the sound pieces in one installation are made from a very well-known video by Jeremy Deller of bats, the sound of bats tweeting around. You might know the piece. But within this space, it becomes part of an older work by Haroon, but the whole entire exhibition thing feels like a new space at the same time. It just proves that artworks don't necessarily have to be stuck in a moment in time. It's just like a single object made in 1953.
Yeah.
It's something that has constant conversation and movement. It's really exciting.
A nice idea of ownership as well. There's that thing of wanting to make a record and have your mates play on it, I guess, which is very cool. And people like Jeremy Deller, obviously, is quite a collegiate artist, presumably quite a caring, sharing kind of guy himself.
Very, very much.
I like that. I like that when people get other people, to you know, do a guitar solo on their new record.
Haroon is interestingly also making music work. He's
right.
doing an album with Factory Floor, and actually as part of Doug Aitken's project in London at the Barbican Station.
Yeah.
Haroon will be making that album live, or like making sound pieces connected to it. So yeah, no, there is a really interesting idea about that kind of super group of artists.
Super group. It's the Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young of young British artists. Not YBAs. They just happen to be young and British and artists.
Yes.
And we're going to have a little tiny clip Petschi. This is from one of Harun Mirza's pieces, and it's at the show. This is called Duet for a Duo. Read into that what you will. The best thing to do is jump on the plane, hop on a train, get to Museum Tongli in Basel in Switzerland. Francesca Gavin, who is our guest on the Art Review today, reckons it's the best show you'll see all year.
I think
put that on your
is.
Poster, Museum Tongli in Basel. Nice. Harun Mirza, that sounds fantastic. He's a Listen Gallery artist as well, isn't he?
He is a Listen Gallery artist.
Another interesting, is he a sculptor, is he a madman kind of guy that they've got on their cards.
Well, Listen are really interesting with the younger artists that are beginning to get in. I think they become aware that they're obviously very established gallery, one of the most established galleries in London, and they're opening up a new space in New York. Mm. And I think they've got a really good eye for picking the right younger artists with a real breadth to them. So Corey Archangel, Haroon, Broomberg and Shanner, if they count as young and recently. So yeah, no, I think it's an interesting combination, but they're obviously super supportive to this. And I was really impressed. I gush when I think about how much I enjoyed this exhibition.
We've got our poster quote. That's our take home. That was Harun Mirza. He's at the Museum Tongli in Basel in Switzerland. Next, we're going to go to Grafton Street in London to Spootsmagers. This is an interesting one. John Waters, everyone's favourite sort of schlock horror B-movie soft porn merchant in the movie industry, is making art. But what sort of art, Francesca?
Before I was here recently, I've read both of his books, Role Models and Car Sick. Yeah. Car Sick is so entertaining. I recommend it completely. And I have really grown to love John Waters as an individual and a kind of creative Renaissance man, a really seedy Renaissance man beyond his directing. Because I think, in a way, he's way too transgressive and strange and a bit weird and kind of doesn't quite fit with the kind of the world of film at this moment in time. So he's reinventing himself, and he's always been a collector and he's always made art. I mean, he has some great Mike Kelly pieces he writes about. I saw a show this is his first show in the UK, his second in Europe. He did an amazing show at Spootsmagers in Berlin last year, which is why I'm so excited about this one, which had really weird sculptural things, like a baby Michael Jackson crawling towards a baby Manson. Okay. So the kind of In Baby Grows. It was wonderful. He's playing around with a lot of like really trashy pop cultural things like plastic surgery and drug deaths. It's a bit like if TMZ was an art sort of, and Mike Kelly combined and had a baby, would be this.
If TMZ had its own artist in residence, it could be John Waters in his artist.
I think it would be really exciting.
Sounds fantastic. We've got a picture here, which our listeners will forgive us for talking about a picture on the radio.
Yes.
We are talking about art. It's fine. But this is one of his things. This is, in fact, it doesn't have a name on it, but it does. He looks a bit like Cindy Sherman. There's a bit of the Cindy Sherman to his, presumably this is a kind of plastic surgery riffing mashup thing.
Yeah, he also did the same approach to Lassie. He basically photoshopped it as like the most horrible, worst plastic surgery job you could ever have done. Like, what would happen to him if he was trying to hustle it and make himself look younger? And it's hilarious because it's revolting, obviously, with like everything's drawn on with a pencil and he's had like 700 facelifts. Yeah. And even Lassie, the dog, looks in the same approach. And he plays a lot with that kind of representation of a cinematic self really well. I mean, sometimes it doesn't work, but you feel like there's something really genuine there with John Waters' work as an artist. He's really kind of trying to translate some of the humor and weirdness of what he does as a director and a writer into what he's making visually.
It's a really interesting thing you said, and we kicked off our chat about John Waters, about the idea that maybe he's too strange to be in cinema at the moment. I mean, it's to do with economics as well. Making some small sculptures, getting them to crawl across the floor of a gallery in London is one thing. Getting all the wherewithal to put together a feature-length film is something very different. It's kind of an interesting thing whether the ideas are translatable, whether these ideas of seediness, of trashiness. We mentioned Mike Kelly and all these. There's an idea of some of these things that presumably lots of visual artists have been inspired by the work of John Waters. The ability to be transgressive seems to be easier on canvas and in a gallery than it is in a multiplex.
I would also argue, in a way, I mean, I liked his... He's such a brilliant writer. He really is a truly great writer. Arguably, he's a better writer than he is an artist, but you know, when someone's such an individual, we don't live in a world where I think those kind of individuals exist in the same way anymore, that I think we should kind of praise and laud those strange people in the world with who are deeply educated and kind of brought up. But the film world doesn't seem to have that space for it. Maybe if he was totally DIY making things on his mobile phone.
Yeah.
But even then, like for like studio releases, it's millions and millions of dollars. And I don't think people are investing in him. So in fact, it's weird that he ever had a career at all in Hollywood. His films are so strange. How does a man who does Pink Flamingos become like mainstream through Hairspray? It's so wild that that happened. So I think, I mean, I always feel like he kind of snuck in.
Yeah,
you know,
I think he snuck in.
Yeah,
I think. God bless him.
Yeah.
And funny, this choice of gallery, this seems to be a strange mix-up in my head somehow, Spit Markers and John Waters. I don't know why.
In Berlin, a lot of do people like John Bock. They do some strange, weird kind of German disgustingness that probably makes a bit of sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
A bit of that kind of, you know.
I think that's a good booking for them to have him in London doing this show in London as well.
And really, what a fun summer show.
Yeah. Yeah, super cool. And they'll sell some in London, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I think there's definitely an audience for them.
Lastly, we're going to talk about Basquiat at the Guggenheim Bilbao. We hear so much, we've read so much over the last 15 years about this museum and rarely any of the shows held within it. So it's nice to be talking about Basquiat. Presumably this is a big, fancy retrospective. I believe it's a show that's travelled from the US to come to the Guggenheim and Bilbao.
The AGO in Toronto, wonderful museum. I'll put this together, yeah.
And what is this taking, it's called Now's the Time. Is it taking a particular slice, a particular genre, a particular type of work, or is it very much a sort of across the board retrospective?
I think this is a big, chunky 100 works, which is larger than a lot of the retrospectives you see. I mean, the Guggenheim Bilbao is not small. I think it's going to be like a big, massive, again, summer crowd pleaser kind of blockbuster show. If you're in Spain, you think, oh, there's a good Basquiat show up there, I'll pop up and have dinner somewhere nice. It's that kind of an idea.
Yeah.
And it's overlapping with a big Koons retrospective as well, which is quite a nice pairing. They're both very much icons of the 80s in New York. And the amazing thing, and I mean, there's that kind of Basquiat philia or whatever it is. I still think there's something amazing when you're presented with those paintings in front of you. There is still, even though you could feel a bit strange that he was so conscious of the market at the same time and so like part of that whole disgusting machine at its first, well, or at that moment in time, that 80s bloom. I don't know, but still there's something really interesting about his approach to what he does and how he paints physically.
And do you think there's he's a kind of understood, a misunderstood artist in many respects? People kind of know about his early death. They know that he was a black man in a very white art world, all the rest of it. Is he misrepresented often that people don't realise the fact that he came from quite a good family, that he was a very good businessman maybe, or that he certainly hung out in the right circles to sell his works? As you said, he had a very great interest in the market. Do you think, hopefully, that this show will represent that side of him?
I'd like to think
so. To see the full 3D Basquiat. You know?
Well, considering there's been so many good documentary films out really explaining kind of that side of where he was coming from.
Yeah, I think you'd be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, as opposed to the kind, even within that, in the context of what we live in at this moment in time, we still, even with your awareness of the market and all that kind of, did come from a well-off family and wasn't necessarily a street, as he was saying. At the same time, he was still probably one of the most successful African-American artists that have ever existed throughout time, probably still, maybe full stop, is. And that's still something kind of fascinating that he's managed to kind of have that kind of
resonance. His reputation has clung onto that.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's still iconic. He has become more and more iconic. And you still feel his influence, I think, in different ways. But it's the work is good.
Yeah.
The work still looks good.
And tell us about, before we go, it was nice that you made a comment at the beginning of us talking about Basquiat, about, you know, when you're presented with these works, or certainly the key quality pieces of work that are going to be presented in the show, you kind of, there's a visceral feel to them. Talk us through, or tell us briefly what your kind of personal relationship is, the paint on the canvas, the strokes, you can feel some of the delicacy, the aggression, you can see a lot of belief, presumably, in those
you can
works.
Feel, you can almost like feel the music someone was listening to when they were making it.
Right.
I really filmed it when I saw a Basquiat show at the Baile in Baal as well, since we're having a Baal moment. I've just come back from Bali, probably still hungover. And I, when you're presented with those paintings, you feel like the speed, the kind of rawness, the energy that's gone into the making of it. That's kind of like, we're living in a moment where there's a lot of process-led abstract painting. It's very exciting to feel like something where you actually really feel the hand of the artist in it.
And you almost have to blow on the canvas to see if the paint's still wet. That's a nice.
Yeah, and even like the pit when he's using pencil, and there's a lot of drawings in the show. You feel like the scrawl of it. It feels like an individual's expression and kind of that kind of anger and maybe pissed offness and the things that actually are still, no matter what your background is, are still part of you as an individual. I think a lot of that comes through. And I also love it when he makes cultural references with it all. But yeah, they still feel exciting when you stand in front of them. They don't feel like dead paintings. And that's quite a rare thing to do from things from 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they do feel a bit, well, especially at that moment in time in the New York art world, you've got people who are making a lot of very kind of neo-expressionist work like Schnabel, or very, very stylized work like someone like David Sala. I mean, like good, or like the appropriation artist of like Richard Prince and that Cindy Sherman in that kind of period. Basquiat still feels like he has something else, another edge coming out of all of it. But I'm sure this is going to be a really comprehensive show.
Perfect. It comes highly recommended from Francesca Gavin. It's called Now's the Time. It's a retrospective of Jean-Michel Basquiat. That's at the Guggenheim Bilbao. Before that, we talked about Haroon Mirza at the Museum Tangley. And in the middle, we talked about John Waters at Spoot Margers in London. That brings us to the end of today's show. Do we? I think if we're picking
so
a winner,
fast.
It's Haroon Mirza, isn't it?
Haroon Mirza is the best show I have seen so far this year. I think it's one of the most incredibly installed, brilliant ideas ever.
Well, I can almost hear the sound of the t-shirt print shop starting up, and that will be emblazoned on the front of all of them. How many are we going to order? Like 200, 5,000?
I don't know if I could wear a t-shirt saying,
it's the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I gush.
I gush. Francesca Gavin. I think we might leave it there. Thank you very much, as ever, Francesca Gavin, curator and critic. Always a welcome voice here on the Arts Review. You've been tuned in to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when Luke Turner will be in the hot seat to give us the lowdown on this week's music releases. But for the time being, thanks for tuning in.